Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Murray Musings. I think this is episode 92, and I am joined here today by my glorious Texan co-host Peter. Hey Peter, how you doing?
Doing well, doing well. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I am looking forward to seeing hopefully a bit of Andy this week. I feel like it's been a kind of dry 2 weeks without him, even although Indian Wells was, when did he play in, like his last match in Indian Wells, like 10 days ago or something, but it feels like a long, long time ago since we've seen him play, especially after he pulled out of the Phoenix Challenger. It does feel like there's been a real big stretch without him.
Indian Wells has always, like usual, aged me. Even though I was there for the past 3 years, I didn't get the chance to go this year. But I'm honestly glad. I was talking with my friend Christina, who's the coordinator for the Phoenix Challenger. She used to be the coordinator for the Irving Tennis Classic, and that took the spot for Phoenix in the calendar when it was in Dallas. She was like, "Are you coming to see Andy?" And I was like, "Am I driving all the way to Phoenix from Texas?
Yeah,
Like,
I bet you're glad you didn't.
two states away. That's fine. Like, driving from the Austin area where I'm at right now to El Paso even is like pretty much a day's drive. So, yeah, no, I just could not be able to drive all that way. And thankfully, I didn't drive and have Andy pull out. So that would have been soul crushing.
But I think just before we do go any further and talk about like Andy's time ending Wales and the look ahead to Miami, I think we'll just talk really briefly about, not that she's ever going to listen to this, but like our condolences to Irina Sabalenka, who tragically lost her partner. That news was morning, and I just think it's really sad that she's had such a turbulent few years. Obviously, she lost her dad a few years ago, and now she's going through the loss of a partner. But she is apparently going to play Miami. Absolutely respect, like everyone deals with grief differently. And I suspect this is for her, it's a way of coping and a way of focusing. Which we'll be doing any media, but yeah, I just wanted to kind of touch on that and say that I'm sure everyone is thinking of her and sending loving condolences at a very hard time.
Oh, just really tough news to hear. So, our condolences.
Yeah, so on that, moving on, let's chat about Indian Wells and Andy's two matches that we got to see in Indian Wells. So his first round match, he played David Goffin, and he was good.
Yeah.
It was a good match.
He lobbed, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I
Lobbed
mean
David
that
Goffin.
lob, it's a work of art. Like, hang that lob in a museum.
Just like 2015.
Yeah. 2015 all over again. And I feel like Goffin just didn't get a look in, really. And what was it? Rob Koenig was commentating, and he said that's the final nail in the
Yes, I was like, he had that like
He wrote that down.
right in his little
I'm
cap.
convinced he woke up that morning and he thought about that line and he wrote it down so that he didn't forget it. He's like, I'm going to use that if it comes to it today.
I mean, when he has a head-to-head now of 8-0, I think it's a nail in the coffin or the goffin for David. I just think that it was a great match. It showed what Andy is capable of.
And he looked like he didn't look like he was under pressure. And I've always said, so when I obviously when the drop was made first, it was a qualifier, but that was all we knew. We didn't know who it was going to be. And I am always, always wary of qualifiers because I've said it before, I'll say it again. They're coming off essentially a winning streak in order to get into that first round. They've won two, at least two matches, which, at this point is more than Andy's won in a row. So, you could unforgiven for thinking it can be stressful. So, it's true. So,
Yes, I was glaring at Claire listeners that you can see that off our Zoom cameras. But yes, winning two matches in a row would be nice.
what does that feel like?
I don't know.
Oh dear, it's really tough going, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah.
so yeah, so like I was worried. I did have my concerns when I saw it was a qualifier, and then when I saw it was golf, and again, like you say, the head-to-head is now 8-0. So you were kind of thinking, I suppose if you're going to get a qualifier, no disrespect, but like that's a good one to get.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got a good record against him. But I do feel like at this point in time, nothing's like absolutely nothing's set in stone
Yeah,
with
nothing's
Andy.
guaranteed. Like, I thought against the Frenchmen, no disrespect to them, but Andy historically has a great head-to-head against most Frenchmen. And so it's like, oh, let's have Puy, let's have Gasquet. Like, bring him on, bring him on. Like, after the hip surgery and like him winning in Antwerp, I'm like, bring it. Bring
Not
it.
anymore. Do not bring it
No, no,
anymore.
no, 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 no. Yeah. Yeah, no. Bring your lowest energy like possible. And being the horrible person that I am, I'm like, as a lot of commentators have said, bring your French brain. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that David Goffin, like being from Belgium, like has a French brain, but like bring the lowest energy that you have against Andy. Don't bring your highest caliber to play against a former world number one. Like
Do
don't
not,
do that.
bring your Benoit Paire journeyman
Exactly.
attitudes onto this court, please and thank you.
Please and thank you.
So yes, yeah, so like that was a great game against Goffin. It does feels like so long ago, and I mean. I must admit, it hyped me up quite a lot because it was such a comfortable, convincing win that I mean, it's the hope that kills you every time. As a Scottish person in particular, it's one of our favourite phrases. It's the hope that kills you every time. And I, as usual, got a bit hopeful and I was like, oh no, it's Rublev. But
He could be disqualified.
He could be disqualified, yeah. Like, I mean, was it too much to ask of him to lose his shit on court and scream at someone and get disqualified?
Yeah.
Apparently, he learned his lesson from the last time.
Yeah.
But like, part of me thought he could do, especially that first set. He went toe
Yeah.
to toe with him in that first set. Rue that bloody. Was it like what did he do on he had set point and did he Joko smash or
Was
he
that
hit
a
the ball and
volley?
I'm sure it was.
Are you talking about the Andy like didn't hit the volley like when he was like close to the net? Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was painful.
Yeah. We've never really lost painful sets and whatnot due to Joko smashes. We don't do that.
No, we don't do
No.
that.
Not in our household. It's not in the Murray Musings headquarters.
No.
We don't watch that stuff.
And then I don't know what happened in the second set. I
He
don't know
just
what
went
happened. It
away.
just fell apart. It was gone. Whatever magic there was in that first set, whatever strength and energy there was that pushed Rublev to a tie break and like almost took the set off of him. It was just gone.
Yeah.
It was like watching, I felt that match going from the first set to the second set, it was like watching two different tennis matches.
Yeah, it was.
And I think it's that, you know, there's a double-edged sword there, because I feel like Rublev upped his game in the second
Yes.
set,
Oh, yeah.
and Andy just dropped his.
Yeah.
And it was just not
Shall I
good.
say it like just a loss of confidence of just like, hey, I've lost a set from having. Did he have 2 set points?
Think was it two? I know it was at least one.
Okay.
I think it must be a confidence thing, you know, because the level, the actual like the tennis skill is there.
Yeah.
And he can play at the level, but it's almost like, I don't know, does he get inside his own head at some point and he's like, oh, maybe I can't do this?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was quite hard to see that second set. Like, it was hard to watch the way that he kind of unraveled.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, by the time, I think when Rublev had the double break, that was it
It was
really. I
over.
think he just kind of stopped trying. I think it was almost a case of, get me off this court now. Like, I just want it to be over.
Yeah. To be frank about it, yeah.
So that was hard. And you know, we've now gone like, I don't know how many days.
11.
11 days. Feels like longer. But then like, this is the thing. I'm like, oh my God, it feels like so long when, you know, we've gone months without seeing them,
Yeah.
without them playing. But now 11 days feels like quite a long time. And I think it's probably because actually over the past, say, year or so, he has, you know, he's played, he has, he's played a bit more, and I feel like we've got a little bit, we're starting to get a little bit used to seeing him around a little bit more again. And maybe are we expecting too much of him?
No, we weren't. We want him on the court. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Push that poor baby on the court. Metal hip and all. Shall we talk about the Stu Frazier article talking about his metal hip and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, so Stu Frazier, one of the best sports journalists from the Times, was talking about
Friend
how
of the pod.
Yes, friend of the pod. We've had him on, and hopefully we'll have him on again. He interviewed Andy, and in the article, he says, "Whatever happens in these final few months, it looks as if Murray's metal hip will get through. This was never taken for granted by Murray, given that a clip in his popular resurfacing documentary showed his surgeon, Sarah Muirhead Allwood, excuse me, warning him in 2019. What if I said that if you go back to playing first-class tennis, I think you've got a 15% chance in the first 7 years you could destroy the hip. But 5 years on, we're here."
Yep, it's gotten through. It's won him another title,
Yeah.
one of my few challenger titles. So it has gotten
Exactly.
through. And he also said that he now just gets he gets a scan once a year now, whereas initially it was once every 6 months, just to make sure that everything was okay and the hip was ticking over. So, you know, it seems all right. And I think, you know, she's obviously a excellent surgeon, and she's
Yeah.
done a phenomenal job on it. So, I mean, maybe her saying the 15% chance of completely destroying it is like, I mean, in medical terms, 15% is quite high. But she's maybe just saying that to be like ultra cautious with
Yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be like he says himself, like that doesn't seem to cause him pain or issues anymore.
Yeah. He says no one knew exactly whether it would last a couple of years, 10 years, or whatever, because there wasn't at that stage anyone to look at that had gone on to try to compete at the highest level, Murray says. But it's been amazing. Obviously, it's not perfect. I'd much rather have a normal hip there, but it's also significantly better than how my hip was before I had the operation. And he says there's no pain in the hip at all. It just doesn't move like a normal hip, unfortunately, he says.
Do you know what? I'm just reading about this article, which I've never realized before. So obviously Bob Bryan had the hip resurfacing, and Andy spoke to him about it. But you know who else had it? And it's included in Stuart Fraser's article. The Undertaker in
Yeah,
wrestling.
when I saw that, I was like, oh, like I don't follow wrestling, so I was like, oh, that's another one.
Do you know who the Undertaker is? So it's like I feel like this is like a really the Undertaker's like quite a niche millennial reference, I think, because like the Undertaker was who like when I was like and I, oh it's a shame Scott's not here because he would be absolutely living for this chat. When I was like 13 or 14, and back when like it was, you know, Sky had like the sports like pay-per-view. And it was almost wrestling WWE that was on at like 2 o'clock in the morning, live from Vegas or something. And the Undertaker was always the one that we wanted to watch. And I would like beg my parents to let me get up. It was always like a Friday or Saturday night. Beg them to let me get up and pay however much it was, like £13
Oh,
pay-per-view
wow.
so that I could watch the wrestling. And they used to be like, what the hell is wrong with you? But the Undertaker, I didn't know that is actually a really cool fact. That's the sort of fact that I would take into a question with me. And I'd like a pub quiz. Like, I'll tell you who's got a
Bob Bryan,
metal hip.
Andy Murray, and
The
which wrestler?
Undertaker. So he's doing quite well with it then. The rest of the article, you know, not just talking about metal hip, but the rest of the article is it's an interesting read, isn't it? So he talks about obviously since Andy made his announcement that he wouldn't likely play much past the summer, I think the chat has been, what does he mean by summer? Like, is summer could be Wimbledon or it could be the US Open. You know, like that's still summer, US Open. So people have been asking him now that he's given a rough time frame. Of course, the next questions to come from it is okay, but when? Okay, but when? But when? And
It's so annoying. Like I've
it's.
seen a few people, and I even posted this on Twitter saying like Andy Murray and Venus Williams, who sadly just lost in today's Miami Open, they don't owe us when like the exact date that they are going to retire. I'm sorry, they just don't like. They're legends of the sport, and Andy doesn't owe you, like, hey, I'm going to retire at the US Open. Like I said in the last podcast, I believe, yes, it would be nice if we have all a good farewell tour, you know, just all of the fans telling him how much he meant to us. But yeah, we don't deserve that in a way that Andy needs us to, you know? Like, it's just not the reality of the sport of Andy saying, hey, you know, I'm going to go at this
It's all,
match. I'm going to lose at this match, and that'll be my last match. Okay, bye. Like, no, that's not the way Andy has played his matches.
exactly. It's not the reality of him, you know, like, you know, like Roger obviously did the whole Laver Cup thing, that was going to be his big farewell, and that was all planned out, and
Exactly.
that was,
'Cause I mean, he
that's
built that
just not,
out.
that's not Andy, is it? You know, like, that's just not how, it's not how he would do it. But yeah, obviously, like, he made that announcement, and he said, I won't be answering any more questions, I won't be talking any more about it, and you think that should be enough's enough, but then obviously people get to Indian Wells and the first question that he would ask about, okay, well, so he said summer, so when it's going to be, and he said something like, I feel like people aren't listening to me. I feel like I keep getting asked this question. I've given you an answer. It's going to be in the summer. I'm not giving any more detail than that. And I've said that's how it is. I've told you that's my stance on it. And I keep getting asked the question. And you could see the frustration on his face and like, when he sort of laughed, after saying, I don't know what else to say to this. That was a laugh. It was like, I'll kill the next person who asked me this question. That was an Andy Murray laugh. That wasn't a ha, this is a great chat laugh. This is a
Yeah. And you know
you.
when he laughs on court that it's kind of it's not going well.
Yeah, it's the sarcastic laugh. It's the classic Andy Murray laugh. So it must be so frustrating for him, but it's touched on in this article by Stu Fraser. And we did talk about this before as well. You know, he's perhaps being vague on purpose because he doesn't quite know when it's going to be. It'll be when he feels like it, like you said, Peter. He doesn't owe it to anyone to tell us, and it is possibly because he's just like, I don't know when I'm going to feel exactly ready in the summer. It could be Wimbledon, but it might not be. So the article in the Times shed a little bit more light on it because Andy has talked about how he would love to play at the Olympics if he's got the chance to, but also only if he feels in himself he stands a chance of success. And I think that's quite telling and indicates doubles. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I really want him to play doubles with Joe again. I mean, what he did at the Olympics with Joe was great. And in the article, he talks about how he, was serving, and I believe, let me go back up to the top where he says it, but he said that it's probably would be one of my toughest losses, actually, because we were set up with 4-3 and game point on my serve in the quarters. So, I mean, yeah, he was right up there.
Yeah, I always felt with the Olympics that he played the doubles with Joe. That was a tough loss in the quarterfinals, and I genuinely believed that if they got through that, they would have won. Like, I think they would have gotten the gold. Because they played so well together, and I really, yeah, I would like to see that. I'd like to see the two of them play again. And I think so they're allowed to take two doubles teams, and Joe and Neil being the top doubles players, they have it's their choice over who they play with. Like, they can request a specific doubles partner, and Joe and Neil tend to not play together because they play on the same side. So they will choose other people, and I think Neil would choose Dan Evans because they've played together quite a bit.
Yeah, they have.
And yeah, I feel like Joe would choose Andy. Unless, you know, like, I don't know, I can't see Cam putting his hand up to play doubles. I can't really see it's not, I don't think it's Cam Norrie's.
And
Don't know,
Cam
maybe the
can play singles.
Olympics. But he can play singles, and I wonder, like, I wonder if Jack Draper will go. Because Jack's higher ranked than Andy now. I mean, there is that sort of wild card slot for Grand Slam winners and Olympic gold medalists, which is how, like, you know, Venus can still go if she wants. Like, I think Serena could come out of retirement and still go if she wanted to. Andy could go, but that's not, he said in the article, that's not what he wants. He doesn't want to take someone else's spot just because he can. So I think I honestly think what hangs on the Olympics is a good run in, like, maybe not so much the clay season. I think we don't need to. I mean, obviously it would be amazing if you got a good run in the clay season, but I think what hangs in the Olympics will be a really good run in the grass season. Like, if he has like a good run at Surbiton, if he plays Nottingham, like, I'm hoping he's going to do both of them again, or at least Surbiton, and try and defend his title
For your sake.
because I'm going. You know, a halfway decent run at Queen's, like, I mean, anything's got to be better than last year. And another a decent run at Wimbledon. Like, I feel like if he got that, like if he made just say made it to the fourth round of Wimbledon, I feel like that would give him enough of a boost. It's like, ah, do you know what? Actually, I could do the Olympics and I could do doubles and I could do a really good job here.
And since it's still the summer in August, he'll come to Cincy for me. Not that I deserve it, but he would grace us, with his presence in America. But anyway, yeah. Back to the Olympics. I think he can go for it. Make a good run with the doubles partner of Joe. Hopefully, I'm holding my
I'd like,
breath if y'all listeners could not hear that
I would really,
deep
really, really like to see it happen.
breathing
I would
there.
like to, I'd like, I would just like to see Andy do it before the time is up, and we don't have much time left, let's face it, because it's middle of March. So we're looking at, like, we've got a maximum of like 5.5 months left, really, before we get out of summer. We're not even in it, and I'm talking about getting out of it, but we're looking at that kind of time frame, right? This is what we've got left, and in the time that we've got left, I would really like to see some doubles pairings as well. I'd love to see him. When I mean, we talked about it with Liam Brody when he was on the pod a couple of weeks ago, I'd love to see him hook up with Liam again in place of what, even although by Liam's admission, Andy texted him and said he thought it was terrible. I would really like to see that again, because I think those two have got like a really amazing dynamic between them, because you can, you tell they're such good mates. Love to see them play together again. Love to see Andy play with Jamie in something somewhere. And yeah, I'd like to see him play with Joe at
And
the
he's playing with
Olympics.
Sebastian Corda in Miami.
That's, do you know, oh, I'm so glad you reminded me of that, because I was racking my brains there trying to think. I'm sure I've seen a doubles lineup for him. I'm sure I saw an announcement that he was going to play doubles somewhere, and I couldn't remember where it was, if it was Miami or if I'd seen it, like, for a later tournament. So that's really cool. So also, we might get to see, we'll see, like, see double Andy this week, if you excuse the pun. That's exciting. That is really exciting. Sebastian Corda, like, do you know what? He could redeem himself with me. Because as everyone who listens to this podcast is aware, if you beat Andy, that's it, you're dead to me. Unless you're Del Potro, who, he could come up and punch me in the face and I'd probably tell him to do it again. So, like, that's how I feel about Del Po. So he gets away with it, but anyone else who beats Andy is like officially on my shit list.
There's
You'd be better
definitely
off
been a
asking who's
longer
not.
list lately, but I think with Korda, with his popularity and everything, he's
Cord is popular?
I was about to say I didn't finish that sentence, but with his popularity, how he came up in America's eyes of like, oh, okay, he's a fresh face, like he can have the tools to like defeat players. I mean, maybe not on tennis Twitter, but like he was very popular with a lot of commentators and everything.
Sure.
I'll just say that.
Sure. Well,
And we can move on.
I have been known to like say that I hate his stupid hairband. It's stupid. He doesn't have a stupid face at all. But yes, I'm petty. I don't care. But I'm sure Seb will be delighted to hear that I might forgive him if he does well in doubles with Andy. So, Sebastian, if you're listening, I'm willing to put my grudge aside. I will cheer you on as long as you help Andy get the win.
I think let me look at the draw real quick. Where is he at? They're playing Cash and Grigspor Alan
Oh,
and
that is
Julian. So yeah.
totally fine. They'll win that.
Yeah. They'll be fine.
So let's talk a little bit about his Andy's first round draw for
Oh,
Miami, shall we?
we need to talk about that?
Yeah, we do. I mean, he's playing tomorrow, so, but
Yes.
I presume he's playing tomorrow. It's kind of the whole point of this evening's podcast. I feel like we should touch on it.
Yes, of course. Like, I was wanting to talk about everything else under the sun with Indian Wells recap with Maria Sakkari and whatnot. But if you want to just go on to talking about
Well, we just
that
like okay,
matchup,
let's just
that
rip
that's
the back.
fine.
Let's just
Let's yeah.
rip the plaster off, and we'll talk about it. So, Andy is playing Matteo Berrettini in round one in Miami. Now, 6 to 8 months ago, he put Berrettini in front of his ad. Like, okay, yeah. But he's a resurgent Matteo Berrettini now. He's been playing much, much better. And he seems to be getting his groove back. And I like, don't get me wrong, I love that for him. I do. But not against Andy.
He just reached the finals of Phoenix, and
Yeah.
so that's why I don't want to talk about it. The thing is, I saw Mateo when he was in Irving for the Challenger back in 2018, and he was great when I was being the DJ and just really cool, really great forehand, as we all know now. It's just, I'm hoping it's going to be not another classic like match like the Australian Open matchup was, but like just a downgraded, like quicker, cleaner two set, excuse me, version of that.
I mean, let's try just having to please
Yes. Yeah.
not go through this whole.
It's funny how I'm like, it's going to be three sets. Oops, I slipped.
I just,
Yes.
yeah.
Quick, clean, two set.
It's not going to happen. Of course, it's never going to happen that way. But we can hope and we
Dream.
can pray. To the tennis gods that Andy gets it. Do you know what? Even if it is dirty, just get the win.
Yeah, a
Like,
win is a
I
win.
don't
I'll
take it,
take it.
just get the win. I just really want to like the fact that I just for me, I feel like he's been in Indian Wells. He instead of going to Phoenix, he decided to go home and see his family, which I think was the right decision. It's a long time. You said this before, that this part of the season is a long time from being away from his family, like when it's a sunshine double with the length of time of the tournaments. So I think it's nice actually, as much as I was kind of looking forward to seeing them play Phoenix, I do actually think it was the right thing for him to do to go home and see his family and spend time with his loved ones. And it's, maybe helped just kind of focus him again and get a wee bit. He was back at the National Tennis Centre putting in the hours. I saw VLT was posting pictures of him on Twitter.
And I believe
So
it was his youngest daughter's birthday, right?
so I'm glad that he did that, but like he's now come all the way back out, and I would be absolutely, oh my god, I'd be so gutted if he's come all the way back and he loses the first round to Berrettini.
Yeah, it's not gonna
That
happen.
was such a slap in the gut. I was going to say a slap in the face, and then I was also going to say a punch in the gut, and ended up getting the two of them mixed up.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say to that. Listeners, there was like a nice pause, and I'm like, I don't know where to go from here because I didn't want to talk about it like this.
I just have my Katie Heron moment? Rule.
Woo. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Because he's going to play doubles anyway, so.
Yeah.
God, we've talked about doubles a lot tonight.
And that's fine. Doubles matters.
Okay, right, so just move, let's just move away from Andy for a little while. Like, I'm not absolutely blasphemy to say that, but let's talk about Maria Sakkari.
Yes, finalist at the
Yeah.
Indian Wells tennis tournament, the quote unquote fifth slam in tennis paradise.
Fifth slam, yeah, you know, like the prestigious Indian Wells. In fact, some might say that it's more prestigious than a certain Grand Slam.
Sorry, I was looking at the drawing and I'm like, wait, what did you just say?
Some might say it's more coveted than a certain Grand Slam. Like, some might say that some players
It took
would
me a
rather.
second, like, for you to like throw that shade, and I was like, oh, okay, yep.
That some players would rather, if you asked them, they would rather win Indian
Indian Wells
Wells
than the French
than a
Open.
certain than a I'm not naming any names than a certain slam. Yep. I don't believe that for a second. However, Iga did defend her Indian Wells title. But Sakkari did. Oh, I so whenever I've done brackets in the past, you know, like on the TNNX app, for example, and I've done my fantasy bracket, I am definitely guilty of putting all my eggs in Maria Sakkari's basket because, like, I'm so transfixed by her arms that I'm like, she can do anything with those arms. She
Yeah,
can
she can
win.
muscle the
She
ball
can
anywhere.
win everything with those arms. So I always put my money in Maria. I mean, I never have her like to actually like win the tournament because I'm not that daft. But I put her to gold.
Wow.
I love you, Maria. I'll have her like going, you know, quarter semi-finals. But maybe in the past 6 months or so, I've been like, it's not working for me. It's not working for me. When I put her in, she's out in the second round. You know, she had a slump, didn't she? And so I almost looked at the final in total disbelief the other day when I realized and it dawned on me that she was actually in the final. And she looked like, I mean, not the second set, like, let's, you know, not really
Coming
talk.
down from 3-0 in the first set, I was
Yeah.
like, with Iga, you know there could be a bagel coming. So I was like, please don't get bageled by Iga. Like, please. And she came back 3-all.
Yep.
And like I was like, oh, this is good. And going back a bit with the Tom Hill and the David Witt coaching situation, I think it's definitely made her a better player. Because I love Tom Hill. I actually got to sit with him while watching Maria in Cincy in 2019. And I mean, with Maria, like, you never know where her head's at until she starts yelling. And that's the same with Andy sometimes and yelling at his box. It's just, you know, going to be her nature. And hopefully that's going to stop now with her new coach. But I was listening to the Racket podcast, and Andrea Petkovic was saying that Tom Hill and Maria were too close. I mean, they were like family, and that was kind of noted in the Netflix documentary where he was just sitting with the rest of her family. And the thing is, like, Maria's going to play pretty much the same standard as going to the semifinals, and hopefully more finals awaits her. But I hope that she gets over that hurdle of what we have in store for her, like, is going to be a title this year, than just getting bageled by Iga, because Everyone's going to get bageled by Iga this year. I'm sorry. But
Yeah.
the thing is, like, getting to Indian Wells final was a win in my book. I'll just say that. Sorry, I'm ranting. We're musing on, but I'm nervous for her.
Do you know, I've just Googled Tom Hill, right? Just out of curiosity. He's only 29,
He's
right?
really young. He came
He
out of college tennis just to.
basically started coaching at the age of 22. Like it's so like coaching Danielle Collins when he was 22 years old. And then the following year started coaching Maria. So like my God, he's so young. Like I mean I knew he wasn't like old because I've seen him in the Netflix documentary, but I didn't realize how young he actually was. Like literally just like say come straight out of college and started coaching.
Personal anecdote, Tom is a great guy. And last year, we're on speaking terms and everything, and how he was so nice to me when I was sitting in Maria's box in Cincy. Like, we took selfies and whatnot. And like, ever since I've seen him over the years, last year, he was waiting for me at the gate. And I was just limping over because I had a long day and my knee was hurting. And he was like, "Yeah, I was just waiting for you." And we chatted for a good 5, 10 minutes. And he's just an all-around great guy. I hope he picks up a really nice player that like he can see a good future with. But Maria needed a different coach. So there's that. I'll just say that.
Now that he's on the market again, does Emma Raducanu have a full-time coach yet?
I mean, hopefully she gets a stable coach. I think that might be a good pairing. I'm worried though,
About
because
Emma?
I don't want it to be a short-term fix. I'll just say that. But I mean, she's now out with a back injury.
I saw
From
that.
the Miami Open, so who knows when she'll be back. Hopefully, like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know with her. She's feels like she's broken every bone in her body. It's sad.
I know it's a shame she's just not quite been able to get past that injuries hurdle. But I think I mean, I certainly keep forgetting about it as well because she was obviously so young when she won the Australian Open, the Australian Open, excuse me, the US Open. She's still only 21. No, so like, she just, I think she's, the body just needs to get a bit stronger. Hope she's all right. Yeah, I read that earlier on actually about the back injury that she'd withdrawn. So, hopefully she'll be okay for the clay. If not, hopefully she'll be okay for the grass. It just depends. Like because a back injury, you can just never tell.
Yeah, you never really know with the back injury. And like we know as Murray fans, back injuries could sideline you for a little while.
Just as we're chatting just now, I'm watching just out the corner of my eye, I'm watching Simona Halep and Paula
Is it a
Badosa.
set all?
It's a set all and Badosa had a break in the third and Halep's just broken back. So they're now on serve. So yeah, she's I mean she 6-1. Halep took the first set 6-1. Back with a bang, certainly in that first set anyway. But Badosa seems to have upped her game. Although I did see that Stefanos was on the side of the court. He didn't look like he was playing. So I think he's probably summoning some of his Greek gods to help Paul out.
Oh, Hopefully, with Paula, you never know where her injuries lie as well. So I just hope the best for her. And honestly, I'm rooting for Paula in this. But yeah, I'll just say that and I'll be quiet.
Well, I
I,
always
yeah.
I'm a Bedosa fan, so
Yes.
I would rather see her win it, and it's not because I've got anything against Halep. I just,
Yeah. I have so many friends who support Simona, and what she's been through, I honestly can't parse out the details and the, I'll just say the truth of things. So, yeah, I don't know.
She's looking a bit gassed just now anyway. I mean, she would
Oh, okay.
do. So, first competitive match back. Okay, so I think that's about ready to wrap us up. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we finish up?
I mean, did you want to talk about Carlos and his win?
Oh yeah, sure if you want.
I mean, that was a really good win against Medvedev, another rematch of last year's Indian Wells final, and it was really good. So
I didn't watch it.
I think Charlie Carlitos can do well this year on clay as well, and probably defeat Novak a few times on clay. So,
Well,
and I
yeah.
mean, maybe even do the Sunshine Double. So, who knows?
Well, no, because Andy's
Unless
going to
Andy.
win.
Yes,
Yeah.
sorry. Sorry, my bad. I remember this is a Murray musing. I'll go over to the
I do.
Iga and Carlos podcast and talk about
Yeah,
Charlie.
go and have a chat with them. I mean, I do. Yeah, I agree about Clay. I think I said at the start of the year that I think Carlos is going to win the
Yeah.
2020.
Really? Okay. Yep.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because
If
as
Rafa
much as it's
doesn't.
well, this is it. Like, as much as I would love to see that happen, Rafa's not winning the French Open this year. He's not. It's just. I don't think he's. I think. Well, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves because we've got plenty of time for the French Open,
Yeah,
but
we really haven't like delved into the Miami Open draw,
yeah.
which I thought
Let's
we
not
were
talk.
going to
Let's not.
do, but
That's. I
yeah.
don't want to talk about. I don't want to talk about my own. I can't say a word. What's my own name? I can't say it. Miami. Not get that word out there. I don't want to talk about the draw because one, I've not studied it, so
Oh,
I
okay.
don't know enough about
Gotcha.
it.
Like I have it open and like I have so many tabs open of like head to heads and I thought we were like going to do a little dive and now
Well, you
no.
could
Yeah.
still do that.
No, I'm fine. Like I honestly I'm with you in a little bit.
I
Like
haven't done my homework. I'm sorry.
yeah, I'm just looking at like the women's draw right now and I feel like I could talk about some good matchups, but I'm just worried about Naomi. And Iga could
Is that why I
face
couldn't say
Navratilova.
Miami?
Huh?
Is that why I couldn't say Miami? Was I thinking about, did I have like Naomi in my head and I just couldn't get the word Miami
I honestly don't
out?
know. Oh. It was kind of sounding like it, and I'm like, wait, like listeners, it's not coming across in Zoom, but I was just like trying to get my headphones and like my head was like tilted more towards the laptop. And I'm like, what is Claire saying?
What sort of Scottish language is she talking right now? Okay, right, well, while we've just got time, give me the one women's match that you're most looking forward to.
I think, let me see here. Hopefully, if Naomi defeats her first round opponent, she would face Svitolina.
Like we tasty.
Yeah.
Who's she got in the first round?
To be honest with you, I don't know who she is. It's Elisabetta Cocciaretto.
Is she
Apologies,
Italian?
listeners. Yes, I believe so.
How
Yes.
on earth did I get that?
Cocciaretto.
Say
Yeah,
it with your hands.
that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, after that, and you don't do it right. Again, this is like this terrible for an audio medium like a podcast. You can't pronounce it right if you're not doing hand movements. Yeah, was it
Elisabetta
Berrettini?
Cocciaretto. I've never heard of her and I've never seen her play clearly. So apologies to her. But yeah. Hopefully it'll be a good match.
Cool.
Hopefully Naomi can get far.
Tell me this, who is my girl Sloane Stephens playing?
Oh, that's a very good question. I saw her earlier. Where'd she just go? Sorry, there's two tabs open for the women's draw because it was cut in half from a Twitter link.
It's all right, I've got
Where
like
did she
50 tabs
go?
open in my brain, so
Yeah.
I did see it, and now I can't remember who it was that
Yeah.
she was playing. So I need you to tell me because you've done your homework more than I have, and I'm just right now scrolling through my phone to see if I can find it. But I cannot. So Peter, come on.
Where is she? I thought I saw her. Oh, okay, yeah. She's down. yeah. This is the one that I had a little bookmarked earlier when I saw it when it first came out. And then completely tried to like erase it from my mind because she's going against Kerber and then facing Kristea, possibly, yet again. So yeah. So that's gonna be a matchup that's gonna be fun. Said no one ever.
Do
I
you know
mean,
what's
it could
new
be
too?
a really good matchup.
I
Could
think.
be a really good match.
I will keep my fingers crossed for Sloane. I'll be looking out for that one. Do you know what I think is really cool? Is it Katie Bolter is seeded,
Yes.
and she gets a bye to the second round.
Yes. I love
I
that
just
for
love
her.
that. I love it, and she's going to play. No, I'm not even going to. I cannot pronounce the surname, so I'm not going to try. But it's the sisters, Brenda and Linda.
Rebetova?
That's it. Yeah, she's going to play Brenda in the second round.
Yeah.
But I cannot pronounce their surname, so I'm not going to even try because I've been butchering it and it probably be offensive. Okay, so that's Miami. I mean, that's not really Miami, but it's our take on
That's all y'all will get, listeners, from us, 'cause
Welcome to Murray News' podcast, the most in-depth tennis draw analysts that you'll find.
Exactly.
Never ever said no one ever. Okay, well, that's been a lovely chat, Peter. It's been lovely to see you.
Always lovely to see you.
And thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I mean, as usual, if you've made it this far, like, hats off to you because
Thank you.
it just sends any chaos after about 20 minutes. But thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our in-depth thoughts on I'm not even trying to say it on the Miami draw. Fingers crossed for Andy. We think he's going to, hopefully he's going to be playing. We're recording this podcast on Tuesday night, by the way, so we're hopefully going to have it up tomorrow morning, Wednesday one before Andy plays. So let's keep our fingers crossed for a good result against Berrettini and a successful doubles partnership with Sebastian Corda.
Yes.
And we will report back at the end of this tournament. So we'll hopefully be back in about a week and a half. And hopefully it's been a good one for us. So please enjoy. Thank you for listening once again. He's been Peter, I've been Claire, and we have been Murray Musings. Bye, everyone.